For Earthfilm Radio, I'm Matt McCucci from the 59th Cork Film Festival, and I'm joined by co-writer and actor of Set Fire to the Stars, Kellen Jones. Thanks very much for joining us.
Oh, thanks for having me. I'm thrilled to be here.
How's Cork treating you so far anyways?
It's treating me really well. I came in last night. I got taken for a pint of Beamish.
It's a must.
It's a must. The people are really, really friendly, and this morning I had a full Irish breakfast, yeah, which was delicious, and we've just screened the film. The Set Fire to the Stars just had its Irish premiere.
And it went down very well. I could see that you were interacting with the audience a lot.
Well, I think this is the moment you can, because at a film festival, you're going to see, you know, people are coming to, you know, are choosing to watch your film out of a selection of other films, and they have an appetite for film, and so when you can come and engage with an audience, and yeah, it was great. It was a great big screen at the Opera House, and yeah, lovely audience, and they were really responsive, and really they were laughing away and gasping away, and had a lot to say at the end in the Q&A, which we had to move out to the bar and carry on. And you know, film festivals are the opportunity for filmmakers to, I suppose, come out of their black hole and and see the whites of the eyes of the people who are watching. So it's great that way.
And you mentioned the screen. This is the largest screen in Ireland.
Yeah, looks great.
Exactly.
Yeah, my head was huge.
Let's tell our listeners what the film actually is about. Could you maybe like tell us about the story and the subject, of course?
Sure. Set Fire to the Stars, taken from the last line of Dylan Thomas's poem Love in the Asylum. If I gave that poem a tagline, I'd probably say it's Love Makes You Mad. The story is about Dylan Thomas landing in America for the first time. He, towards the end of his life, his short life, which is actually the anniversary of his death today, the 9th of November. Yes, so it's quite a fitting, sort of a significant date, really.
Wow.
But he died on his fourth trip to New York, but this film is about his first trip in the first week, as seen through the eyes of the American academic played by Elijah Wood. The man who brought him over there and wanted to show him off to America was expecting this very sort of literary academic genius. He was a literary genius, not so academic, but he was also the beast, the angel, the madman, the human. So our tagline is never meet your heroes, but it's not that heroes are disappointing. It's actually you disappoint yourself because you build them up. So it's not Dylan's fault that he's disappointing. It's the people who are disappointed because they're expecting just one section of a personality.
Right. I mean, in this film, actually, you make him human.
Absolutely. Thank you for saying that. I think as an actor, I always want to humanize the characters, because I, as a person, I like a level playing field, you know? Mm. I like us all to be on the same team, you know? Keep us all in standard class, you know? Or give us all a nice seat in first class, you know? But I really do feel that Dylan was that type of person. I think he pricked the bubble of pomposity. He was a father and a husband and a son and a talker and a drinker,
yeah,
and a fighter and a joker and a cad. You know, he was a bit of everything. And that's where you get drawn to these sort of characters, because we all know characters like this, and we all recognise elements of them within ourselves, because we're not all one thing. And he just happened to write some of the greatest pieces of poetry and literature that have ever existed. You know, in the canon of the English language, he is right up there.
Mm.
And he did it his own way. People call him the rock star poet. In some ways, he had a rock star persona, but also a people's poet. I like him as a people's poet.
Yeah, well, rock star poet, that's right, because like his personality is very strong personality, emotional personality. He almost, like, he didn't do anything to hide it, you know, it was out there for people to see, and that's kind of what shocked people, I guess, as your film shows in his first trip to America. So was there a particular reason why you actually chose this particular time in his life to tell the story?
I've always been attracted to that relationship between John and Dylan.
Mm.
And I've always, the idea that here's this man who is a very famous poet, but the BBC wouldn't give him a job because he didn't have a university degree. It's crazy, isn't it?
It is, yeah.
So he was pretty poor, he was pretty up against it, he was loaning money off of everybody, he was keeping his family alive and supporting them. And then all of a sudden he receives this letter off a stranger, essentially, saying, I'm a poetry professor and I want to show you off to America and you'll make some money and everyone loves you over here. And he goes to the other side of the world and America hits him. You know, he looks like an unmade bed. You know, they describe his hair as like a nest for birds. Yeah. And these owl-like eyes, and he spins like a top. And I can relate to that. When I go to America, the child in me sort of leaps out because I've lived with that country through cinema and through literature and through dreams and aspirations. So I can really relate to that. So the idea of this Welsh figure landing in America and America hitting him the first time was really attractive. And I thought it lended itself brilliantly to cinema. And Andy, who I co-wrote the script with, and he directed the film, brilliant, brilliant director, great vision for the piece. You know, he sort of said, there's this moment in the first week which happened where John couldn't handle Dylan, and Dylan was, you know,
too much.
Yeah, we say a line in the film, New York is killing him. And John sort of bundles him into a car and takes him to a log cabin in Connecticut to sort of, it's almost like a trainer and a fighter, getting him ready for the big tour. And from that moment, I sort of believe that that was the apex of their relationship. They weren't sort of as close beyond that. They were very close, but not as close, because I think John, after this tour, really started to protect himself, because he had to, because Dylan would, you know, he would take all your emotion, take all your attention, drink all your beer, eat all your food, make a pass at your girlfriend or wife, insult your friends, charm the life out of everybody. You know, he was just like a bright star, you know, burning in the middle of space, you know, devouring everything up in front of him. And people just were so attracted to him. So I think you had to protect yourself around a personality like that.
Yeah.
Like a John Belushi character, you know. Exactly. You forgive him everything. So we thought, this is great. And also we're shooting very, very quickly on a very low budget. So it becomes a chamber piece.
Right.
You know, what can we... We haven't got any time and we haven't got any money, but what we have got is this amazing team and group of people who want to make the best film they possibly can with the resources that we've got. And I'm not forgiving anything, because I really wouldn't change anything of this film. I'm very, very proud of it. But that sort of thing dictates the style.
Yeah, that's true. And it looks amazing for a film that we shot in 18 days. Wow.
Yeah, it's a film I've always wanted to be in. I've always wanted to be in one of these black and white American indies.
Yeah.
You know, the people were really working at the top of the game. We've been in the game a long time, sort of Andy and I, and AJ and Andy, our producers. And because of that, people want to come and help us out and sort of work on the project.
Sure.
So we're not just out of drama school and film school trying. You know, granted we did have a bit more resources to us in the terms that our colleagues and friends and relationships have been built up over 15, 20 years. So we do get... So it is shot by a BAFTA-winning DOP, and it is designed by a BAFTA-winning designer, and you do get Stephen McIntosh and Shirley Henderson.
So you and Andy go back a while for this collaboration anyways.
Yeah, he's a great mate of mine, but we met through... I was working in the theatre, and I was working with his wife, who's a hair and makeup designer, and she was working at the theatre too. And she said, oh, my boyfriend, they're married now, but my boyfriend's Welsh and he really liked the play and really liked you, and we would meet and have a couple of pints after the show.
Yeah.
And I thought, this guy's cool, I really like him, and then we tried to work together on a TV project and it didn't quite work out, and I remember feeling sort of really gutted, because I liked him, I liked his vision, I liked the sort of guy he was. And then by chance we ended up in the same TV show after that, and we became great mates then. And at that point he was writing stuff, I was writing stuff, so he would read my stuff, I'd read his, and we would just be pals. We'd meet for coffee shops and help each other out, and then we said one day, why don't we just do something together? We decided it was a Dylan project. We decided it was the first week of New York, you know, of America. We had dreams of the type of thing we would love it to be. We just saw it in black and white.
Mm.
You know, we'd love it with a significant score, with Griff Rhys doing the soundtrack. He's a hero of mine. And then when the producers came aboard, AJ and Andy, that's when they sort of said, well, we like this idea, we want to make it, we will try and raise the money to make it, and go and write it.
Mm.
So we then hit the keys and wrote it very, very quickly, because we'd had it gestating for so long. We'd worked out the whole story, and then we had the script, and halfway through the script, Andy said, I only see Elijah Wood playing this role, and we loved it. We finished the script with Elijah in mind and got it to him, and he said yes, and Griff said yes, and then all of a sudden it happens because it has that momentum, and before you know it, you're all going to Swansea to make the film you've always wanted to make.
And one of the most important elements, of course, in this film is the fact that you and Elijah had to share this amazing chemistry full of passion and fire, which is a suitable word to use given the title of the film.
Well, you know, everybody said, you know, we were so full steam ahead to try and make this film. We had this window to do it, and you just sort of take it for granted that it will be there. But just before we started shooting, Chris Seeger, our DOP, did some, you know, he said, well, if the chemistry's not there with Elijah and Kellen, then there's sort of no film.
Yeah, exactly.
But you expect a Hollywood star to arrive, and what you get is a very cool actor who gets off a train with a box of records under his arm and a cigarette in his mouth, and wants to be with everybody and stay in the same hotel as everybody and wants no other preferential treatment. He's just a really nice guy. He's really interesting. He's a music nut. He's a film nut. It was unsaid, but we didn't leave each other's side from the moment he arrived. We ate together, hung out together, drunk together, smoked cigarettes together.
Yeah.
And but that was just easy because he's the sort of person he is. And I suppose there was an element in our brains that committed to that as well, because we knew that we had to have that there. But when that first scene was shot, Chris sort of took his cans off and said to Andy, "We've got a movie." And people do love that chemistry, and I love that chemistry. I could really trust Elijah, and he could feel he could really trust me, and so we can really do things to each other and push the envelope and be there. So I'm thrilled with that, and we've committed that we will definitely work together again.
Well, that's
I'm the Walter Matthau to his Jack Lemmon.
Yeah,
I know. Listen, I'm probably putting myself way on a pedestal because those guys are amazing, but there is something of that odd couple relationship, and I do believe that if you've got something good, you should just keep doing it, or at least explore it again.
Yeah.
I felt the same about my wife, you know? So, and I feel I'm the same with Andy. Andy and I are going to work together again, or we all want to work with the whole team again. And out of this film came a production company called Mad as Birds, which I am part of with Andy Evans and AJ Riak and Aid Shannon, who helped us out with this, and he's now on board, and Andy's associate to this. We just want to work together again. I can only be honest, and I know I'm saying that to a journalist, but I can only be honest, and there are times in your career where you go and do things and people just clear off, and you go wholeheartedly into something and you really feel part of it, but when it's wrapped, it then belongs to other people who, and you're sitting at home and watching them collect awards or, and it's, I'm not saying that we should all be, you can't take everybody with you, but you should recognise who made the piece with you, and for us, our ethos is that we are, if we're anything, we're honest, and we want to appreciate the value that everybody put into this. So
yeah.
You know, it started with Andy and I, but it finished with everybody, and it's a sum of all its parts.
It's great to hear that, like, you know, whoever you worked with in this film, you're going to work again, and it's going to be a collaboration that will just keep going on, and hopefully you'll keep making films like Set Fire to the Stars that has a lot to say to people.
Oh, thanks, man. Well, we will endeavour to do so, and where we can, we will, and I will. And it even came down to the script where, you know, people, you're asking people to come and give their time and their talent. So we have this amazing ensemble, and it's essentially a two-hander, this film, with these amazing supporting roles. Shirley Henderson, Kevin Eldon, Stephen McIntosh, Kelly Riley being amazing there. Then we have Richard Brake and Steve Spears and Kate Drew and Gillan and Andrew Bicknell, Ken Drury. You know, it goes on and on and on. Polly Hemingway, Sue Mond, I'll name them all. And Mamie McCoy, the incredible, as Rosie the Waitress.
Great scene.
Yeah, it is great.
One of my favourite scenes in the film, actually. Oh. It's great that you mentioned it.
Oh, thank you. No, I loved writing that, and I love the reaction when Elijah's character John doesn't really realise that this amazing woman is flirting with him. And the whole point is that John sees a waitress, a drunk at the bar, you know, two mad old ladies, you know, this isn't New York, this isn't the life I've been trying to have. But Dylan sees hopes and dreams and shame and wonder, which I imagine he did.
Yeah, and I think one of the messages in this film is it sort of like inspires people to do that, to look through, you know, whatever's superficial and to actually understand things and look at them in a different way.
Don't open a book, open a window, you know, listen to people. They've all got a story to tell. And, you know, my point about this ensemble cast is that we wanted the spotlight to really swing to whoever was there. Mm. Even if they're there for a moment, I wanted that actor to really feel that there was a moment and the attention was there and they're not just playing Thug 3 or, you know, yeah, Fisherwoman 9 or whatever like that. They're, you know, they are a part of this. And that there's a reason they're in the script and there's a reason they're in the film and there's a reason that John and Dylan experience those characters within the film. And at the end we have that audacious moment where the whole cast reappear to recite the poem, where John realises, yes, at the end, where he gets it, that point where John gets it, is also us as filmmakers going, there was a reason all these characters are here. They're not just here because we needed
an ending,
or we needed a girl, or we needed a man, or we needed, you know, they're actually part of our story.
Thank you. This is Fred Film Radio, the Festival Insider.
Fred Film Radio, 24/7 on fred.fm and smartphone apps.